We express our sympathy to those of you who are close to Alice Varghese. We just learned about it this morning. This world is not my home, and I'm glad of that. I'm glad we've got something better to look forward to. I'd like to ask you to turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Numbers. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, the fourth book in the Old Testament, chapter 6, Numbers, chapter 6. We'll read from verse 24, Numbers, chapter 6, verse 24. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Last part of verse 27. I will bless them. A benediction, a very beautiful benediction. I'd like you to notice there are two persons in this benediction. The Lord and thee. That's us. Two persons in this benediction. Thank you, sir. The blesser and the blessed. Those are the two in the benediction. There must be an intimate relationship between the blesser and the blessed. And an intimate relationship promises blessing. That's basically what we have in this benediction. Now, actually, this benediction, if we were to study the content of the chapter, we would find that this benediction was encouragement for the Nazarite. Study of the Nazarite in the Old Testament is very beautiful. And after the Nazarite completed his assignment as a Nazarite, this benediction was the encouragement to that Nazarite. There are at least six blessings in this benediction, and that's what we want to focus on this morning. Not a ritual. This is not intended to be a religious ritual. I was brought up in a denomination where it was used as a ritual every Sunday after the preacher finished the sermon. He would end up with these words, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace." And then he would make the sign of the cross and he would tell us to depart in peace. The only reason I enjoyed the benediction when I was a kid was because now we are free to go out and play basketball or whatever. but we want to focus upon the blessings of the benediction. And we believe that this benediction is not intended for us as a religious ritual, but it's recorded in the Word of God for our learning. Do you believe that? There are spiritual lessons for us. Number one, the Lord blesses. That's verse 24. The Lord bless thee. We've got a God who delights in blessing. You know, in the Old Testament, blessings were very remote. And the grace of God was very obscure. At Mount Sinai, the word was afar off. Keep your distance. Don't get too close. That was the word of Mount Sinai. That's the message of the law. But the message of grace is, come. Come unto me, and I will give you eternal life. In the Garden of Eden, it says that God blessed them. That's Adam and Eve. God blessed them. And the blessing that God gave to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden was, be fruitful and multiply. That was the blessing that God gave to man and woman. In Psalm 45, we read, God has blessed thee forever. You see, the blessings that God gives to us are not just temporal, material, and then tomorrow they're all gone. The blessings that God gives to us are not only for time, but they're for eternity. God the Father has blessed us in election. I don't know whether you appreciate the doctrine of election. I do. And I'm not a Calvinist either. I believe in the doctrine of election. I believe that God chose us before the foundation of the world. And I'm thankful for it. And I believe in the doctrine of election, not because Calvin believed it, but I believe it because the Bible teaches it. The Father blessed us with election. He chose us before the foundation of the world. The Son blessed us with redemption through His blood. That's the price that He paid for our redemption. The Holy Spirit of God blessed us in regeneration. That's when you were born again. That's when you repented of your sins and you believed in the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. You could not be saved apart from the convicting and converting ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. He not only convicted you of your need, He pointed you to the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Father elected us, the Son redeemed us, and the Spirit of God regenerated us, born of the Spirit. God blesses us even though we don't deserve it. Do you believe that? We don't deserve these blessings. But he blesses us anyway. That's the grace of God. But we are able to bless God when we worship and when we thank him for all of his mercies. Not only does God bless us, but we can bless God. The Lord blesses. Number two, the Lord secures. That's in verse 24, too. The Lord keep thee. The Lord says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. You see, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ did not end at Calvary. It's an everlasting love. It's in our life. It's in our lives every day of our life. You see, God is not only the creator and redeemer, but he is the sustainer, isn't he? He keeps us. As redeemer, he saves us by his grace, and he keeps us by his power. We are saved and secured by the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The atonement and the intercessory prayers of our great high priest keep us. We have a double security. The Lord Jesus spoke about that double security in John's Gospel, chapter 10. There the believer is found in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's the hand that created the universe, that flung the stars into space. We're in his hand. That's secure, isn't it? But then the Lord Jesus goes on to say that we are in the Father's hand. Double security. And the infinite hand of the Son of God and the infinite hand of God the Father. The Holy Spirit of God converts us, indwells us, and seals us forever. That's security, isn't it? The Lord blesses, and the Lord keeps us. Number three. The Lord's radiates light and love. That's in verse 25. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee. He radiates his love and his light to us. The light of the glory of God is reflected in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. You want a verse? 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. The light of the glory of God is reflected in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, if you have an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus and you can see him face to face, you are going to see reflected in that beautiful face the light of the glory of God. In order to see this reflection of the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus, we are going to have to be intimately near. You'll never see it at a distance. You've got to be intimately near to enjoy the shining of His face. To learn of Him. That's a principle that we want to emphasize. I want to learn of Him. I want to know more about Him. To learn of Him and to enjoy His presence and communion. I think a good example of this intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus, you remember Mary in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. Martha was busy in the kitchen serving. But you know where Mary was? Sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, looking full in His wonderful face and listening to the beautiful words that came from His lips. I think when you're in such an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, He is going to radiate His love and light to us. His face will shine. I think this was the motive and the goal of Paul. Remember when Paul said that I may know Him. What did Paul mean? He didn't mean that I might know Him as my Savior. He knew the Lord as his Savior for many years when he wrote Philippians chapter 3. What did Paul mean when he said that I may know Him? Paul had a sanctified ambition to have an intimate communion relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is when the face of the Lord Jesus will shine. In Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, we won't take the time to turn to it, but Malachi speaks of something interesting. He speaks of the Son of Righteousness, capital S-U-N, not S-O-N, but he speaks of the Son of Righteousness. But you study that prophecy and you will find the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of Righteousness. The brightness of the sun is going to display the righteousness and the glory of God. It shines to give light and love and warmth. Number 4. The Lord is approachable. Verse 25. Be gracious unto thee. You know, when you meet someone in a high position, you're kind of hesitant, aren't you? If you met the president or the king of some country, you'd kind of hold back a little bit. I would, you know. But you don't have to with the Lord. He is approachable. And be gracious unto thee. As I mentioned earlier, in the Old Testament, the law at Mount Sinai, everything was at a distance, wasn't it? Stay away. Don't come near. But that's not true today. That's not true in grace. That's not true with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is approachable. In the Old Testament, it said, stay away. In grace, he says, come unto me. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Grace is the prominent, dominant theme of the New Testament. It is quite sparse in the Old Testament. You'll find some grace in the Old Testament, but not too much. You've got to come to the New Testament to find grace. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. It's interesting to notice that the New Testament epistles begin and end with a blessing of grace. Grace be unto you. Look at the last verse in the Bible. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. That pretty sums up the story of grace, doesn't it? You see, grace is the proclamation of victory in Christ. There was no such proclamation under the law. At the throne of grace, and you and I are welcome to spend our time at the throne of grace. It's not the throne of judgment. It's a throne of grace. And at the throne of grace, we are loved, we are accepted, and we are blessed. Number 5, the Lord expresses his pleasure. That's in verse 26. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee. He is expressing his pleasure. His countenance. That reveals his smile of approval. Isn't that what you want to see in the countenance of the Lord Jesus? He's smiling because he is approving what you are saying. He is approving what you are doing. And the smile of the Lord Jesus is an indication of his appreciation. You know the countenance of the Lord Jesus. You can study it through the Gospels. There was times when the countenance of the Lord Jesus expressed approval. There were times when the countenance of the Lord Jesus expressed disappointment. And then there were times when it expressed anger. His countenance gives us a fresh reminder of eternal love. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. When we confess our sins, he restores unto us the joy of our salvation. You remember in Psalm 51, that is David's confession. What turmoil, what agony that poor man was going through. David, David was a man after God's own heart, but he committed adultery. Isn't that sad? We read about it in Psalm 51, and that dear man was in agony. And he finally confessed his sin, and he says, "Restore unto me the joy." You see, David didn't lose his salvation, but he lost the joy of it. And there's no way we can sin and avoid confession and be happy. Do you believe that? Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He expresses his pleasure. The valley of death. We've been hearing about the valley of death, haven't we? And you know what the psalmist has to say about the valley of death? "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." That's the language of the believer. You don't have to be afraid of death. For the believer, death is actually a friend that opens the door for us to see our Savior face to face. Now, that's not that bad, is it? Now, I'm not looking forward to death. I'm 86 years old, going on to 87. I'm closer to it than you are. But I'm not looking forward to it. Not afraid of it. Because I've got a Savior who rose from the dead. And he said, "Because I live, ye shall live also." Isn't that good news? Number 6, and that's our last point. The Lord gives peace. Verse 26. "And give thee peace." What is peace? It's the absence of internal and external strife. That's what peace is. No internal, no external strife. In the Old Testament, there was a vain struggle for peace. They couldn't find it until they come to the grace of God, to the New Testament, and they have found peace. The wicked are like the troubled sea. There's no peace to the wicked. Sinners are rebels, but repentance and forgiveness brings peace. Shalom. Our Hebrew friend knows what I'm talking about. Shalom. If you've ever visited the Bible land, Israel, you know what I'm talking about. When two Jews meet together, they say shalom. That means peace. Peace. If anybody needs peace, the Jews do. Read the newspapers. They need peace. Jews long for peace because for centuries, I mean millenniums, they have not had peace. Hitler, Pharaoh, Haman, that's to name a few, they never have enjoyed peace. And you know what the problem is with our Jewish friends in Israel? They're looking for peace, but not the Prince of Peace. That's the big problem. They're looking for peace, but not the Prince of Peace. Peace, peace when there is no peace. That's the best that they have. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace, isn't he? He is the peacemaker. And he is the peace giver. What was the price of this peace? The blood of the everlasting covenant. The blood of the Lord Jesus was to make peace forever. There's internal peace. We are justified by faith. We have peace with God. That's internal peace. There's peace of mind. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. There is peace for the overcomer, the victorious Christian. The carnal Christian can't enjoy this peace. There's an internal struggle that he can't handle. But the victorious Christian, he can enjoy peace. I think we have examples of heroes of the faith that enjoyed this peace. Listen to one of them. I fought a good fight. That was at the end of Paul's life. He enjoyed peace, didn't he? I fought a good fight. Stephen, at the end of his life, listen to his words. Lay not this sin to their charge. Those were the last words of that dear Stephen, the first martyr of the church. That's victory. That's victory. There is peace to the believer now, but there is peace on earth when the Prince of Peace rules. And I believe it's coming pretty soon when the Prince of Peace is going to rule. This world can't go on the way it is. Read your Bible. And the Prince of Peace is coming. And there's going to be some rough times before that. But the Prince of Peace is coming. And he's going to set up his kingdom. And that's going to be universal peace. And it's going to extend into the millennium. That's going to be a beautiful time of peace. But it's going to extend beyond the millennium into eternity. When the Nazarite's commitment was completed, the Lord gave them this beautiful benediction. When our Nazarite commitment is completed, the Lord gives us this benediction. Let's read it again. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. That's not a religious ritual, beloved. It's in the Word of God for our learning. Brother Bruce, would you lead us, please?